So one thing I've learned, and I often share this in church, about human beings is this. Human beings do not like change. Okay, especially if you're me, I don't like change. My wife once suggested that we swap sides of the bed, and I was like, you crazy woman? Why would anyone ever do that? Or if you move stuff around, you just don't like change. My daughters are still recovering from the fact that we got a new kitchen. And my sister visited this week, and she came in, my sister goes, oh, this kitchen's lovely. And my oldest daughter's like, no, it's not. I like the old one. Okay, because as human beings, we don't like change. Down the road, is anyone like oatcakes here? Any oatcake lovers? Yeah. Ah, oh, I'm addicted to oatcakes. And High Lane Oatcake is my favorite oatcake shop. And I remember they got bought by Povies. Now, for some of you think this doesn't really matter. And apparently the guy was going to use the same recipes, everything exactly the same staff, the same everything. But just because there was a new owner at the shop, people stopped going to the shop and they didn't want to go anymore because it might be different. Okay, in the human beings, you have this nature that even if everything's the same, we don't like change. And I thought it's really interesting looking back over church history, because I think it was about the 1600s. Some of you might have been around then. Were you younger than Margaret? I'm not sure. Okay, joke. I always tease Mark. But it's fun. Kathleen, I won't ask you too much if you're around then. But there's a guy called Gutenberg, Johann Gutenberg, who produced the printing press. And he started to print the Bibles in mass production so that everyone could get hold of a Bible and read the Bible for themselves. Do you know what the Christians of the time did? They went, this is terrible. Why are you printing Bibles for everyone? This is awful. This is different. This is going to end the church. Aren't people crazy sometimes? Their attitudes have changed. And last week I shared as Christians in church that as a church, as any church, I believe that the reason for churches are for people to come together to love God and to love others. I believe as a church, we're called to take the message of Jesus into the world around us. Now, when lockdown hit last year for the first time, every church was forced to do things differently. Every church was forced to think differently about church. Most things we had to do were taken online. Now, for some of you, Zoom was just when you overtook someone, okay, in the car down the motorway. And suddenly, we learned about Zoom. I remember being in the Farsi house group the night before, and some of the guys that met you and Yusuf were saying, the way forward is going to be Zoom. And I'm like, what? And we encouraged everyone to have Zoom, and then we had lockdown. But what happened was we changed because we had to change. We were forced to change. And for a time, it was absolutely amazing. But some people absolutely hated church being online. Some people loved church being online. I know some of you loved the fact that you could sit in your dressing gown with your screen with your camera switched off, having a cup of tea, just rolled out of bed with your hair in all different shapes, and thinking, oh, this is the way to do church. Okay, this is lovely. And some of you were missing that interaction with people. But the argument which arose is this. Is online good or is in person good? This deep theological argument I never thought 15 years ago when I became a pastor would ever be an argument. And as a church, it's easy to say it's just internet's better or in church is better. Well, how should we do it? But what we now believe as a church, that when the question we need to ask is what's the way that people connect to church that matters, whether it's digitally or in person. And I love the quote by a guy called Sim Dendy, who's a pastor, who wrote a book called Simply Church, and he says this. He says, as the church, we need to keep reminding ourselves why we do what we do, and that we are a family. As I've just said, the reason for church is to love God and love others. You know, our church, the reason we exist is to raise emotionally healthy, spirit-filled disciples. That's what we believe we're here for. And we can't be narrow-minded in thinking that church is all in person or church is all digital. Those expressions we never ever had. And today I just want to explore for us, what makes church church? Rather than have the fight about whether it should be online or in person, or that disagreement we fight in love, what actually makes church church? Now, we explain the why of church, that's to love God and to love others. Our mission is to raise emotionally healthy, spirit-filled disciples, and I'm going to explore discipleship a bit more next week. But what makes church church? So that we're not just another social club. So, the first thing that really struck me when reading through, if you go to the book of Acts, which is the fifth book of the Bible, it talks about the early church. What happened when Jesus went to heaven and the disciples were out? And one thing I've noticed about the disciples was this, is that the disciples went to where the people were. Do you know what? Sometimes Christians make me laugh. They say, we want more people in church. I'm like, have you invited anyone to church? They're like, no. So I'm like, you want to sit in your building and hope that people will randomly turn up? And they're like, yes. Have you thought of a crazier thing to do? It doesn't quite work like that. Because the early church, the disciples went to where the people were. We see in Acts chapter 2, Peter spoke to the Jews who were in Jerusalem. When the Holy Spirit fell on the early church, when God empowered the early church, they didn't just stay in the room where they experienced God. They walked out the door and they told people about Jesus. Doesn't that make sense? Go to where the people are? Some of you are like, we're not sure. The other thing they did, if you read through, you see Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. They went to where the Jewish people were. They went to the temple to share Jesus. Then if we go further into Acts chapter 6, we see Stephen preaching and performing signs and wonders. Again, he went to where the people were. Then you got Acts chapter 8, when the Christians were being persecuted and they flee Jerusalem. You have Philip going into Samaria, the neighboring country, telling people about Jesus. The disciples didn't just go to people, they actually told people about Jesus. And as a church, I believe churches need to tell others about Jesus. Can we say that together? Churches need to tell others about Jesus. You know, the disciples knew the message of Christianity, the messages of hope. They knew the hope that the gospel brings. A church that doesn't preach Jesus, that doesn't tell people about Jesus, is not a church. It's a social club. And this is really important for us to remember when we're going forward. We need to have this at the center of our thoughts. Whether it's in a Bible study, whether it's in a Sunday service, whether it's the barbecue, whatever we do, we need to share the message of Jesus. But if we're sharing Jesus, we need to make sure that we're not just preaching to those who know Jesus. We need to make sure that we share the message with Jesus with those who don't know him. And that's why as a church, we believe that being online and having online services and also having in-person services are both really important. Because do you know what? Most of the people who don't know Jesus in Stoke-on-Trent have the internet. Isn't that true? Most of the guys who don't know Jesus have the internet. And I was just thinking about this, and I read about this recently. And there's one lady called Nona Jones, and she's a big speaker, and she works for Facebook now, and she's a pastor at the same time. And she says this, dying churches see their target population as the people in their pews. Thriving churches see their target population as everyone else. She says, if we want to reach people, we need to use the internet. We need to talk to our friends and our family. You know, someone asked me the question yesterday, Jim. They said, how do you get younger people into church? Now, this was an older person, okay? And so when I said, oh, younger people? Do you mean teenagers? They were like, no, people in their 40s. Okay, and I'm like, that's older than me. Goodness me. And I said, you know what? I said, everyone has come to our church it's normally because someone's invited them or through relationship. So guys, you know, we need to go to where the people are as a church. That means we serve people practically. That means we serve people digitally. We go to where the people need to hear about Jesus. We preach Jesus where people don't know him. And for me, there's not an argument between whether you do online church or in-person church, providing that Jesus is preached. However, as a church, we also need to worship Jesus. Can we say this together? Churches need to worship Jesus. Really? That sounds really, really obvious, okay? But there's some churches where they don't, okay? They like to worship people instead. And there's something great about when, you know, when you're at home. Now, some of you may not do this. I don't do this so much. I was with a friend 2 days ago, and he does this all the time. He always has worship music on, and he's always singing. But you know when you put your favorite worship CD on, maybe Hillsong's or Bethel or wherever else it is, and you're there singing away to the best bands, and it's brilliant. You can put on the best bands from around the world. You can sing out at the top of your voice. No one's complaining about your singing. It's just you and the CDs, and that's all great. You know, when you're being online, when you're watching a church service elsewhere, you can sing along, you can worship along. And worship in private is really good. Singing to Jesus privately is really good. But guys, it's also important that churches worship together. You know, there's something quite powerful. I think Kathleen said it about how she really enjoyed being on Zoom, but there was something about coming together in church and singing that makes a big difference. There's something powerful about it when joining others to worship Jesus. It says this in Acts 2, verses 46 to 47. This was after Jesus went to heaven. Peter preached to loads of people. 3,000 people became Christians on the first day of the church. And this is what it says the church started doing. It said they worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, as a church, we seek to preach Jesus online and in person. We can meet together on Zoom. We can encourage each other. But if we're able, we mustn't neglect meeting together with other Christians to worship. Mustn't neglect it. There's something special of being united. You know, the last couple of weeks, the football season's restarted. And John was there and Steve were there last week for Stoke City, I know, cheering on and going for it. But all the fans have said the same thing. It's okay watching football on TV. It's nice, okay, it's great having that convenience. But nothing quite beats it when you're in the way end at Stoke City and it's Blackburn v Stoke City the last couple of years. And when your team scores a last minute goal and you're there cheering together and you're all celebrating together, you're singing together, there's something quite magical. That's for football, okay? There's something even more incredible as Christians when we come together. You know, as a Christian, I think you'll find your struggle to be a Christian solely online. You need to come together corporately, even if it's on Zoom where you can actually talk to people. But if you're just watching videos, you're going to struggle. It's something special about coming together. You know, if you make church about what you like online, there is a risk you'll become a consumer and not a disciple. So when we have an internet church, it's not just about you staying at home and watching the internet, watching the sermons. Some of you might be tempted. But actually, it's about coming together. And this is my next point. My last point, so you can then relax. Churches need to build community. Can we say this together? Churches need to build community. You know, if we look through the New Testament, we see that people's faith is grown and developed in community. There's no such things as isolated Christians. Everyone grew together. They encourage each other. The passage we just read in Acts chapter 2 talks about them sharing meals together, meeting together, having time together. That community, that's community, that's interaction, that's conversation, that's friendship, that's support, that's love, that's food. All of those things are really important. An online church is really, really important. It's good. But if you're just watching streams and content, you don't get community. Community is through engagement, through conversation, through relationship. It can start online, but I believe it comes to a place where it needs to move to physical connection. Or at least you can do at least is get onto Zoom and talk to people. My way of looking at church is this. Now, some of you will be more experienced at this than I would be. I'm not really experienced at it. But I see online church a little bit like online dating. Okay, don't put your hands up if you're doing it at the moment, okay? It's great, but so we go. But the thing about online dating is this. As people can start connecting together, but there comes a point when they need to actually meet the person. You can't get married to someone, can you, if you've never actually met? Some people may do that, okay? But you can't get married to someone if you never actually physically meet them. The least you can do when you get married to them is actually be in the same room. Okay, there comes that point. And church is like that, online. It's a good introduction. It's a good way of connecting with people. But there comes a point where you can come together and you can connect and actually meet each other. You know, when I was a young guy, you know, I was 16 years old. It seems that so long ago now, nearly 20 years since I met my wife. I think it's 19 years this month, actually, so a while ago. And when we first met, we were 16-year-olds, and we had something called MSN Messenger. Does anyone remember MSN Messenger? Some of you may know it, some of you may not. Anyone who's in their 30s will know it. And it was the precursor to Facebook. So what would happen is every evening we'd go online and your friends would come online as well. It was the old dial-up, you know, that noise. And your parents, no one could ever ring my mum's house in the evening because I'd always be chatting online to Naomi. And however good it was for us to be typing to each other, like instant messaging, there came a point where it was just good to be in their presence. And actually being online, typing messages was great for a while. But as a 16-year-old, I kind of wanted to kiss her occasionally, okay? And et cetera, and actually see her and give her a hug. And that's the same for church. Not kissing necessarily everybody, okay? Just to clarify. And not hugging everyone if they don't want to be hugged. Some people love that. Some people don't, me. Okay. But that's what online church is. When we use church online, it's not a replacement. It's not something you do to make your life easier because you miss out on community. It's really interesting because I like the letters of Paul. Those who don't know Paul, he wrote letters in the New Testament. He became a Christian. He wrote after the book of Acts onwards in the New Testament. He wrote these letters to churches. And I see him a little bit like the first distance. Paul would have been a good online pastor, okay, preacher. Because instead of going online and putting a message on YouTube, Paul would write a letter that could be passed around and everyone could read. And Paul wrote things like this in Romans 1, verse 11 to 12. He says, "For I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord when we get together. I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours." You see, for Paul, it wasn't just good enough writing letters. He knew that they needed personal interaction. Then in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, he says this, "Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God, let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith." Paul desired that meeting. He knew the power of human connection. In Philippians 2, verses 24, he says this, "And I am confident from the Lord that I myself will come and see you again." Guys, you know, when we do church, it's not, especially if we go into the new season, it's not about whether we do it on Zoom or not do it on Zoom or do it in person. It's not about whether we put it on Facebook or do it here. Online and digital, they work together. But Paul knew here that the power of community is being together, and we can't dismiss that. We don't let convenience replace authentic church and authentic relationships, especially if you're listening online today. You know, I believe as a church, we mustn't fall into the trap of in-person or online. I believe we need to make sure that we use both to preach Jesus, to worship Jesus, and to build a Jesus-centered community.